there's just enough chill in the air, some dust, and some diesel exhaust, but I love it because it means it's harvest time. The bins are all cleaned out, or at least they should be. The service techs are all highly caffeinated, and it's time to get to it. And we're coming along for the ride. Welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast, where we're going to meet up with the heroes of the harvest and tell their stories. In hopes that when we're done, we're all a little smarter. And now to the show. Welcome back to the Harvest Trail Podcast with my friend Garrett Davison from Osceola Implement, Osceola, Nebraska. Garrett, great to have you on the program.
Glad to be here.
What are you doing today?
Oh, I'm actually figuring up new gleaner combines.
New ones?
Trying to get some pricing for 2023 and get it out to some of these guys and try to get some pre-sales before the end of the year.
Well, it's a time. It's a good time to take advantage of them. I mean, there is there's money in pockets. There's money that needs to be spent so the tax man doesn't steal it. And there is there's equipment. You know, as much as people are hearing, you know, where's this and where that, there's equipment out there.
Yeah, it's trickling in anyway.
So harvest, you know, you're selling combines in the middle of harvest. What's going on with your harvest?
We're all wrapped up. We finished
up
about a week ago.
That is a dirty lie.
Yeah, we hold the last load of town on Monday, and we're all done. About got everything cleaned up, put away for the year.
Okay, if you're pulling my chain, you're really good at it. You guys are genuinely finished. There's no way. I don't believe this.
Yep.
I'm gonna call your dad.
I'm all done.
I'm calling your dad. This is not true. So your personal crop, how did it go this year?
Yeah, we're personally done. There's still quite a few guys running around out here. But I'd still say probably another 2 weeks, you're going to see quite a few guys finished up.
Well, last year we rode together and you had some pockets in that field of things you were looking at. How did you solve those, or did you solve them?
We took quite a few steps to try and correct it, but with the dry conditions that we had all year, it was really hard to tell if anything, you know, if we did any good. I mean, I definitely saw some good on different farms around, but as dry as we were this year, you know, all the dry land corners really, really drug averages down. Guys with whole dry land 80s and dry land quarters, I think, were a little disappointed in yields this year, but irrigated stuff seemed to do pretty good. Most people seem to be pretty happy with the irrigated yields, so that's just the nature of the beast that we battle every year.
Now, did you personally grow beans?
Yes. Okay. I had some beans this year as well, so which I think that's probably the main reason that sped a lot of my harvest up, was we were able to get out there a little earlier and knock some acres out early. And we actually, when we dove into irrigated corn, we weren't really expecting it to be as dry as it was for as early as it is, and it was all dry, so we just kind of kept rolling right along.
Now, you guys are the dealership, Osceola's longtime gleaner retailers, but you've had a lot of luck with your personal Massey Ferguson combine. Tell me about it, and what kind of voodoo did you do to the combine to get the extraordinary results that you get?
You don't kiss and tell.
I'm guessing you're gonna. You can only look from the outside.
We've been a gleaner dealer for as long as I can remember. We did sell the Massey combines there in the last years of AGCO producing them. So we've actually got some of the last Masseys made out still running around here with some of our customers. But yes, I do personally run a Massey. The biggest thing here, I guess, and on our area, is we've got big yields, and it takes capacity for them. A lot of guys trying to run 40-foot heads and 12 to 16 row corn heads. You get a guy trying to run a 40-foot head and green stem 80, 90 bushel soybeans. It takes a lot of threshing capacity and a lot of horsepower. And I run the Massey and I run a 40-foot head on mine, and that's where it's nice to have that extra threshing capacity.
Now, I'm sure throughout the year you get a little stick time in a new S9 gleaner, and with that new cab and the new electronics, what's that like?
Absolutely, yeah. We had the 100th anniversary S9 out here, took it to three or four good customers of ours, let them kind of run it on some of their acres. We had a 40-foot draper, a 9300 series draper on it. We ran a 3300 series 12-row corn head on it. A lot of features on the S9 that are very nice. The cab being one of them is, I'd say we got one of the nicest cabs on the market. There's no one else out there that can touch how nice our cab is. I ran the S9 with a 40-foot head side by side my 9545 Massey with a 40-foot head. In a year like this year, I would say we're as dry as we were. Beans were dry. Corn was dry. I'd say the gleaner, it did very well for the year that we had. We get in a year where, we got green stem soybeans. I think we struggle with a 40-foot head, but it did pretty well. It lived up to its expectations this year.
That's excellent. And you have a borrowed combine, is what you said?
Well, yeah, that's right. Oh, we had a borrowed combine.
That's like a rented mule.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
You get to give it back when you're done?
Yeah, we gave it back. it went away last Sunday. So
that's trouble.
I told them they did voice me for it, but yeah, they didn't think they liked that idea.
you don't loan out your combine.
Yeah.
So crop conditions, how did I know that that moisture became very challenging this year. As the crops came in, what were you seeing? And I would assume, too, I've heard this other places in Nebraska, a lot of dust, very dusty harvest. Yep. Tell me a little bit about yields and moisture rates coming out of the field. What did you see?
Yeah, so soybeans this year, a lot of guys, we dove into some soybeans that we never would have thought would go. A lot of leaves, green stems still. But we seem to have been getting very used to that around here. Guys are the chemicals that we're putting on them nowadays, spraying fungicide on them. We seem to go in to cut beans that we think are going to be 15, 16 moisture, and we dive in and they're 8 or 9% moisture. But the plant's still green and has leaves on it. So that goes back to our threshing capacity on our Massey compared to our gleaner. These guys trying to run 40 foot at a time with the green stem, chewy, tangled up 90 bushel soybeans. That's kind of where we're at. We've got to be able to go in when the beans are 11-12% moisture and take them out, whether the stems are green or whether there's leaves on them or not. You've got to take it out when it's the right moisture. Otherwise, you're just losing bushels. Corn-wise this year, dryland corn, of course, everything was dry. Stalks were dry. Irrigated corn, we dove into. The stalks were still green. Ears were standing straight up. Never would have thought corn would have been dry, but most everything we took out was at 15 to 16 range, right? Kind of where we want it. So moisture's, it's pretty crucial in soybeans to knock them out, around that 12%, 11-12% if we can. So when it's go time, it's go time. These guys want to knock beans out as fast as they can. And then when they switch over to corn, it kind of seems to slow down a little bit.
Now, what do you think, when do you think things are going to wrap up in the area? Most people will be done with the rest of the corn.
I would say another 2 weeks. You're probably going to see most of your average guys around here starting to finish up. Your larger farmers, 6,000-7,000 acres. I would say if they could have another good 2 weeks of running, they're going to be on the downhill slope, be close. But most of your 1,000-2,000 acre guys, I would say for sure, probably going to be wrapped up here in another 2 weeks.
Now, did your sister come and run the grain buggy for you this year, or was she off at school?
Absolutely.
The A-team,
yeah,
inseparable.
That's right. I couldn't do it without them, that's for sure.
Dad drove the truck?
Yep. We got Dad to run the new S9 there when we were running soybeans, and had Kelsey running an auger wagon, and a good friend of mine, Miles, he trucks for me, so yeah, I try to take as much help as I can.
Yeah. Well, that's and that also puts you at two combines this year doing harvest. With dad out in the beans. Now tell me this, is again, you have a lot of gleaner combines out there from the dealership, and green stem beans can be a challenge for every design that's out there. What do you do to your gleaners to help them get through those gnarly green stem beans? Are we talking knives on the rotors? What are we doing to to maximize their ability as a machine in that crop condition when it comes up?
Yeah, so I know, you know, we had this new S9 out here. I know we had some engineers from AGCO out, some Gleaner guys that they're trying several different things, putting stuff on the rotor cage, you know, trying to keep from plugging, trying to optimize combat capacity, and trying to get the most throughput out of the combine that they can. They're doing everything they can to try to make it the best combine out there. I guess biggest thing we do with the 9 series is we put the filler plate on the left side, back left corner of the rotor, and we put the filler plate on the bottom side of the chopper just to try and get everything moved through, get that the material over to the chopper and the chopper to grab it and take it out, to try and get out of the machine as fast as we can. So those are some of the things we're doing now. You know, like I said, we get in a year where it's really green stem and soybeans are dry. We fought plugging in the past, plugging on the cage or plugging the chopper. I know the guys at AGCO are taking extreme measures to try and get that resolved for the future anyway for us.
Well, and for the guys that are running older machines that don't have the high speed chopper speed up or the new designed chopper, there's something to be said for, you know, coming by your shop and looking at upgrading that chopper, because of it almost creates a vacuum action to pull that material through the processor and get it out of the machine. Have you done that on some of the older machines that are out in your service area?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our, you know, the very first S series, the 77, 67s, the 8 series, you know, all those that didn't have the updates when we've come out with the updates that we can put on them. We try to talk our customers into doing those updates when we have them in the shop in the winter, just to try and not run into problems down the road. So that's kind of what we take those steps in the off season, running them through the shop, trying to get everything prepared for the next year.
Now, when I was out with you last year, you were hauling to the elevator. You know, as some yields are coming in pretty impressive, and we have heard some bottlenecks in the infrastructure to get grain away. How was your, well, let me just put it this way. Have they started building the pits yet?
Yeah, they have. Yes, they have. They started pretty early. I think there's a lot of guys probably have the same mentality when corn's $7, why are you putting it in a bin if you can haul it to the elevator during harvest?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of stuff's going to the elevator this year, as dry as things are. You know, there's not much drying charge, not much shrink on corn crops. So, yeah, I think you're seeing a lot more go to the elevator this year with $7 corn.
Well, as a farmer yourself, what is, you know, not holding you liable for any of your recommendations? What are some of the marketing strategies for the grain that you're seeing that have that seem to be working with the market in the situation right now? Are people selling off 60-70%? Were they already sold 50% coming into harvest? What are you seeing and watching?
Well, you know, I always like to try and sell a third right around planting season, a third about in the middle of irrigating season in the summer, and then the last third there at harvest. I don't personally have any storage. But a year like this year, you know, and even last year, I hear a lot of farmers doing a lot more with basis contracts. These elevators are, when they throw a positive basis out there, that's something that these guys can lock in a basis contract and then sell it here, you know, during harvest when the corn's $7. And, you know, you have farmers talking about dollar plus basis, you know, you're up to $8 pretty quick. It's hard to beat prices like that.
Now, so people are going to be having money in hand, and we know there's a, you know, we know that all supply lines for equipment are going to be restrained for the next couple of months. But tell me this, what can people buy? What can people buy to really improve going into next year, either improving their yield, improving their stewardship, or improving their just personal experience and comfort during the farming year? What should they invest in? What's caught your eye?
Well, we're telling there's lots of things that the farmer can buy. I mean, you know, the equipment's tough to get, but the big thing is getting your name on it for the future. Telling guys right now, if you don't put your name on it, there you'll never have the chance of getting it. It just kind of seems to be the way it is. It seems to be everything we get in, it's already sold before it's here. So the main thing is looking a year in advance right now on the equipment side. You know, if it's not equipment, you know, as a farmer, I look at what I can put in the soil. Manure is becoming a pretty big thing around here. We got a lot of chicken barns, a lot of chicken manure, a lot of feed yards, a lot of cattle manure. You know, I personally put cattle manure on a couple of my fields last year. Definitely saw some huge benefits out of it. So, I mean, that's another thing that I think guys overlook, that, you know, if you've got the opportunity to do something like that to help better your soil, that's where a guy could put some money into as well.
Well, the price of nutrients, you know, at least in the past couple of months, have been insane. And being able to supplement that with other sources and build up that soil quality, build up organic matter, you know, build up nutrient, holding ability of the soil, is you'll get that money back.
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
You know, one other thing that I wanted to ask you about was, you know, coming towards the end of this year and then going into next year, what kind of farming practices are we seeing evolve? A lot of people on the show are talking about the end of no-till, you know, or, you know, trying to deal with the heavy residue that's ending up. What are you seeing in your area? You know, you probably have people that have, you know, at least flirted with corn on corn over several years. You yourself are taking care of your own fields. Are we going to have to get away from the shallow tools and really get down and start busting up root balls? Or what does that solution look like to you?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of no-till farming around here. I would agree. I'm starting to see a lot more people struggling to deal with the trash. You know, we get into 270, 280 bushel corn, it's hard to get through that trash next year. It just doesn't break down, you know, like it used to. I do see a lot more cover crops. Cover crops are becoming pretty big around us. A lot of people putting rye and turnips and sedan grass, you know, but mostly you're seeing that on bean ground. You go in here in the fall and establish a rye crop, and whether you're going to take it off for a livestock feed or you'll just use it as a cover and plant into it in the spring. I see a lot of bean ground doing that, you know, especially we get into some of these guys with lighter soils, helps hold the soil, hold your nutrients, build up your organic matter. So I see that is becoming pretty popular. I guess on the tillage side, you're starting to see a lot more deep ripping, disc rippers, big equipment, big tractors, high horsepower, really turning things over, burying trash. The high-speed disc is starting to take off around here. We handle a Brandt high-speed disc, and a lot of interest in the high-speed disc around here. So there's becoming more and more tillage. The day of the no-till, I mean, I think it's still around and it's here to stay, but it's going to be tougher for those guys to get through that heavy residue.
And if a guy wants to come to you and get some tillage before we go into the spring, how's the supplies out there for the tillage tools?
You know, it's tough. Our Brandt side, we've got a high speed disc here. We've got a 33 foot sunflower disc here. We've got some stuff on order for next year. The sunflower stuff seems to be pretty tough. If you're not ordering about a year and a half in advance, you seem to be tough to get that. So a lot of it is being able to find what's out there, if there is anything available that we can get from another dealer.
Well, and say that I don't want to buy something new, but I want to upgrade, particularly over winter with my planter or my combine. It pays to get it in early, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. You know, planter sales have been great for us. We've got a pretty wide selection of used planters on the lot right now. We've got a pretty wide selection of new planters going out this year. Combines, we're pretty slim on combines. I don't think there's a combine on the lot right now that we have. So I guess that's kind of comes back on the dealer, is we've got to go out now and try to push new machines, and we'll try to get some good used iron in here to move to that customer that doesn't necessarily want to upgrade to a new machine, but is looking to do some upgrade, that's for sure.
Well, and there's a lot of reasons to get that combine to you over winter beyond trading, because there's things in that. I mean, a perfect example is a whole lot of people don't look at their helicals, but your helicals can make a humongous difference in your threshing efficiency and your fuel efficiency, in the quality of your result. Getting that combine into you over winter could, in a lot of ways, give them a whole new result next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, preventative maintenance, I would say, is huge. A lot of guys take it for granted, but getting that combine in here as soon as harvest is done, you know, there's not a lot of dealerships that have the opportunities. You know, we've got a great big shed that we can store combine ends in the winter, and we can get them as we need them. So we kind of take advantage of that, of getting everybody's machines in here, you know, right after harvest, getting them clean, getting them stored away, and working on them through the winter months, making those improvements, making adjustments for next year. That way we don't run into troubles when it's time to go.
Gary, thank you so much for being on the show. And I really do wish you awesome luck and awesome fortune in the weeks and months ahead as you close this out for your customers and you get your own grain sold and hop on that pulling tractor and bring home some trophies, you and Kelsey both.
Absolutely. Nope, it's a pleasure being on.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yep, thanks, Jeff.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I did. I also hope you'll keep tuning in for more insight, discussion, maybe a few laughs. And if you'd like to join us on the program and tell us about your harvest, just send us a message by connecting with us on social media. The Harvest Trail Podcast is a production of Agricultural Dealers United and brought to you by some of the best dealers in the business. You can find previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at theharvesttrailpodcast.com. The show's produced by Rich Williams, and I'm your host, Jeff Michaels. Until next time, may your bins overflow and the fuel bill stay reasonable. May the bean dust stay on the outside of the cab and the stalk stay out of the tires. And may someone else have to blow out the radiator. Have a great, safe, enjoyable, and bountiful harvest from all of your friends right here at the Harvest Trail Podcast.